Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, Steel Santa.
I'm glad that you're ringing in the holiday season with this new nickname, Jordan.
Yeah, I just want to put the Santa back in Christmas.
Yeah, finally.
It's too much about Christ.
I know.
And hey, he's
sure.
Great.
He died
for
our sins.
Yeah.
The man died for our
sins.
Had
a lot of wisdom, a lot of compassion.
Sure. Washed feet.
What about Santa?
Took care of lepers.
Sure.
Has Santa ever taken care of a leper? He's probably brought one like a sweet transformer or something.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Like a little junior leper?
Yeah. You know, nothing takes the mind off leprosy like a Sega Dreamcast.
I think a contemporary leper child might be disappointed to receive a Sega Dreamcast.
No, lepers love Sonic games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they want to go deep catalog?
Yeah, exactly.
So the issue is leprous children already have...
And I'm really glad that
PS4.
I can... PS4? Yeah. But, you know, they think it's like, you know, it's too much about the flash. It's too much about the graphics. It's too much about look at these textures.
When really what it should be about is ethics in video games.
Sure. Thank you. It should be about Sonic collecting rings and using a cumbersome controller to do it.
Well, let's introduce our guest on the program. She's a comedy writer, a writer on the hit television program At Midnight.
Or was.
Was.
Yeah.
Former writer on the hit television program At Midnight. Twitlebrity. Vanessa Ramos. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, gang. Thanks
Sorry
for
I said
me.
Was so aggressively. I just didn't want to misrepresent you.
I left there for a show that hasn't aired yet.
Oh, cool.
So let's hope it airs.
My fingers are crossed.
Yeah.
That's actually a lie. My fingers are not crossed.
I know. I'm looking right at you.
I know. That's why I felt like I should come out and admit it, because I wasn't fooling anyone.
I'm sitting on my testicles. I hope that bodes well for your show.
Me too.
Oh, man. Earlier today, my son Oscar just stomped the living daylights out of one of my testicles.
On purpose? Were you guys fighting?
Yeah, we were fighting, and he fights dirty.
Jeez.
This kid... 14 months old, he already fights dirty.
Throws a handful of sand in your face, stomps the nuts.
Stomped my testicle.
And then he cuts you with the razor blade he keeps under his tongue.
I was holding him on my lap. You just forget that babies don't know about... He doesn't even know to be careful of his own testicles.
Sure.
Like, sometimes he'll hurt his testicles. Not because he, like, fell or something... But just because he put them in a dangerous position.
Sure. And, like near a xylophone?
You know, he touched a pot and got burned.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my testicles got stomped.
I don't think you should let your son cook naked.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
But put on some pants when you're cooking.
I'm hoping to raise him as the new naked chef.
Oh. Well.
Wasn't that Jamie Oliver at one point? Colin, you're from England. He's nodding. Yeah, that's correct. Have you ever seen a sumo match? Either of you guys. Well, I'll start with that. Have you guys ever seen a sumo match?
No, I've never seen a sumo match.
No, I've only seen like the weird like, hey, this would be a funny scene in a movie type thing where it's just two big dudes in it. But I don't think there was anything actually like historically correct about it.
Okay. I have seen – and you. I assume you've both seen a sumo match in between innings of a minor league baseball game.
Sure, yeah.
As one does.
I've seen a few sumo matches, and one thing that I didn't know that they do on the subject of throwing sand in faces is, like, sometimes there's just different kinds of sumo guys. Like, some of the guys are just enormous. A lot of the guys are enormous Hawaiian dudes. So, like, they'll be, like, 6'7" and 797 pounds. You know what I mean? Other guys are, like, two-thirds of that size. But they're crafty.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big moves that they do...
Like they know a lot of life hacks?
Yes, exactly. They know how to keep the bubbles in a can of soda that they've opened
sure,
but not drank
yeah,
all of.
They can open a beer with a credit card.
Yeah. They do this thing. Like one classic crafty sumo guy move is, you know, there's a point where there's like in, you know... the sumo guy equivalent of their three-point stance is ready for the shit to go down. And then the referee or equivalent. I don't know a lot of sumo terminology, so I'm just working with what I've got here.
Sure.
He says go, in Japanese, of course. Mm-hmm. And then the little dude.
In Japanese, go means five. So he yells five.
That's true. And it's a popular game of strategy. The little dude sort of pops up at the big dude and fucking claps right in his face like this. And the big dude goes, huh? And then the little dude goes, huah! And then he fucking does a twisty turns and the big dude falls down. I've seen it happen. It's amazing.
Seems like there's not a lot of rules in sumo.
Well, there's no clapping in the face rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remembered the thing I was thinking of, the only time I've really seen sumo wrestling was in the movie Street Fighter.
Mm. Oh,
like,
sure.
Like when they introduce, is it E. Honda, I believe?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Or no?
It's E. Honda.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. And
you're talking to the right man.
Okay.
You're looking for confirmation on this subject.
Yeah. Well, specifically in the film. Yeah. And
I know.
Like, but
yeah,
it was also.
I'm one of the rare people who knows a lot about the movie Street Fighter, but nothing about the game.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just a fan of the movie.
No. Because in the sumo scene in the film, he's also like, he's doing the sumo thing, but he's also kind of has one eye of like what's going on because they have this big thing planned, like, to sneak in Chun-Li in front of, like, Raul Julia.
Sure.
So.
What is the plot of Street Fighter, the movie, is that they're having a tournament on an island?
No.
They want Kylie Minogue to be seen as an actress is kind of the overall theme.
Yeah.
Fighter,
but we got to get her out there.
Yeah.
So here's, I think, the problem. They've made two Street Fighter movies.
Okay.
And neither of them have been about a fighting tournament. They've been about, like, toppling a dictator.
Wait,
oh, and it should be noted, the first one ends, like, it was the last film Raul Julia did before he died. So it ends, like, it's the worst film, the cheesiest, like, worst acting, and it ends with a big thing that says, Vaya con Dios, Raul. Like, it's the giant tribute to him and his body of work.
I like how they said, Vaya con Dios.
Yeah.
You will always be remembered for your role as M. Bison.
Yeah.
So none of them are tournament-based? Have you seen both?
I have seen both, yes.
I would imagine you saw the first one because you were such a Street Fighter fan. You didn't know how terrible it was going to be. You were 14 or whatever. And then the second one probably because you had to for your television.
That's exactly right, yes. This is the Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh, I've heard that legend.
Yeah. It's a tale as old as time itself.
She's legendarily good at Street Fighter.
Right, yes.
She's a good fighter.
She's a very good fighter.
Have you ever heard the legend of the woman named Chun-Li who was really good at fighting?
Yeah. My mother used to tell it to me.
Sure. Once upon a time.
Yeah. When we were homeless on the streets. I had nothing to lull me to sleep but The Legend of Chun-Li. Yeah, it seems like a movie about a fighting tournament could be pretty cool. You just have a lot of cool fights.
Right.
Get whoever choreographed the raid to choreograph you some fights.
Right.
You got a movie. But yeah.
Because everybody's got magic powers.
Sure.
One guy's got stretchy yoga arms.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, if I was in charge of the video game to film Street Fighter franchise.
Okay.
I'd probably be getting laid a lot more, right?
Well, number one.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you'd be fucking the shit out of Kylie Minogue.
Oh, man.
You and Kylie would be going to town.
Hey, Kylie, you want me to make a Cammy solo movie? Of course you do.
Australian super songstress.
Yeah. The Mortal Kombat movie was actually about a fighting tournament.
Okay. Has there only been one? Mortal Kombat is irrelevant now, right?
No, Mortal Kombat's still a pretty vibrant franchise.
What about the shareware game Pong Kombat?
Yeah, that's on the same level as Jazz Jackrabbit at this point.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the Mortal Kombat games are still really good. They're making them a little more complicated too. So,
tell me about what kind of complication can we expect from a Mortal Kombat game?
You know, just like more
career mode.
Yeah, career mode.
I mean, are they doing that thing where it's like you can be different, like kind of like an old like NBA Jam where you could just all of a sudden it's like, hey, I can be this player who retired 10 years ago.
Yeah, if you put in the right code, you could be Bill Clinton.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been out of gaming for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
You know, they're just a little more technical, a little more complicated, a little less about button mashing, a little more about strategy.
Can you be Joe Buttons, or is that just in Def Jam?
I think that's a Def Jam Fight for New York.
Okay, that would be a good unlockable.
It would be great. I mean, definitely, Mortal Kombat needs to go outside the box. I mean, there's a new one coming out, so it seems like they could add more people from pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to sell video games, the secret is. get some of the best-selling rappers of 2002.
Yeah. What do you think Soulja Boy's finishing move would be?
The crank right. that.
Yeah. Oh, or Supermaning that hoe, I guess.
Oh, you know, so there's two good choices.
Yeah.
Either he Supermans the hoe or he cranks that.
Yeah. Both good options.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. There's been two Mortal Kombat movies. I have not seen the second one, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
When is this in a similar situation where it came out 10 years later?
No, I think it came out. It was like kind of a rush to theaters after the first one was a success.
The first Mortal Kombat movie was a success?
I think so. I think it is the gold standard for video game movie that kind of worked.
Let me ask you this question.
Please.
How many Double Dragon movies have there been?
I think just the one.
Just the one?
Yeah.
I know that one primarily because of that Introduction to the Arts class wherein a girl did a monologue from it.
That I took in high a lot school. Of juicy parts for women in Double Dragon.
Yeah, sure. She was also really into a martial arts professional wrestling league.
Mm-hmm.
She would write poetry about it in literature class.
Oh, terrific.
Called something Masters,
mm-hmm.
Martial Arts Masters or something. It was on Channel 44.
And it's amazing that girl you went to high school with grew up to be Taylor Swift.
I know. But you know what they say? Never judge a book by its cover.
There you go.
I looked at this spectacularly beautiful young woman and I said to myself, she's never going to be a star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because she can sing doesn't mean she'll be a singing star. There you go. I always assumed she would go on to become a martial arts professional. So.
Ideally.
Okay. We'll have Ideally. More on Jordan Jesse Go when we come back in just a minute.
We're Dave and Graham, and we host Stop Podcasting Yourself.
We started this podcast back in 2008, before podcasts had to have any kind of concept, so we don't really know how to describe it.
It's kind of like going to the barber shop if your barber knew all about the first season of the show Elf.
It's like a 90-minute massage where the masseuse is two people talking to each other with a third person.
It's like the Monsters of Metal tour, only quieter, no music, and just talking.
It's like a makeout session, but without the lips touching, they just talk a lot.
Download Stop Podcasting Yourself from iTunes or MaximumFun.org.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, Steel Santa.
Vanessa Rabo's celebrity pet chef.
Yeah.
Is that how that works? I don't know if you're supposed to say.
Yeah, no, you are.
That was it.
You're right. That is the perfect nickname. And
I didn't know if it's more of a nickname or profession is my confusion.
I think you're overthinking it.
Okay.
It's just a vibe you want to give off.
Oh, okay.
So just like something right, that you then. Feel clues the listener into what you're all about.
So in your case, you have a television show where you prepare pets as food.
I'm fine
for
with
celebrities.
That message as well, yes.
Yeah, for celebrities. Yeah.
I was thinking more in the vein of like I cook things like Joshua Jackson has an alpaca with some creative allergies. That's where I come in,
right.
You know, really whip something up.
Sure.
It's impossible to feed an alpaca without peanuts.
You know? You found a way.
Yes.
Almond butter. That's the secret. Almond butter. That's the way to feed Joshua Jackson's alpaca. So, yeah, I mean, I think Celebrity Pet Chef is great.
Great.
Yeah. Well done.
I participated in some holiday activities today.
Oh, I'd love to hear one.
I just went.
If you pick the best one, the other ones can go to hell.
I went to a parking lot and I bought a Christmas tree.
Okay.
From a toothless man.
Mm-hmm.
A man who looked like...
Are you worried that you're maybe supporting this man's meth habit by buying his Christmas tree?
Mm-hmm. He was very nice.
Okay.
Quite busy.
Yeah.
Let's see. The cast of characters at the Christmas tree lot was the toothless man.
Mm-hmm.
He had some teeth.
Sure.
Just others he didn't have. He did not have a 100% track record in the tooth department.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a man who was sweeping up, who was so kind of so apparently beaten down by life, like so clearly destroyed by time and the elements and late capitalism.
Sure.
That he looked like he could have been an extra in like in the background of the song Skid Row from Little Shop of Horrors.
Sure.
Or like maybe in Rent.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was wearing like a flat cap and he was little and had like a 4-day beard growth and was wearing like a beat up old sweatshirt and was raking.
You should have flipped him a dime, and then if he chomps it to see if it's real, then you know that this is a guy who has seen better days.
And then the other person who helped me was a young man whose age I would place at somewhere between 12 and 15 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Who was – okay, there was one person who was normal,
mm-hmm.
a 17-year-old skinny teenager who was bright-eyed and tied the tree to my roof.
Just needed a seasonal job.
Just needed a seasonal job.
College bound.
And you know what? He did a great job. He got a $5 tip. You know what I mean?
I bet he enjoyed that.
Because he had the bright eyes. He's gonna take it and
he's probably not
gonna
spend it on candy.
No, him and his girlfriend are gonna go to see an action flick.
Sure.
When he says happy holidays as you drive off, he means it.
He wants you to have a happy holiday.
Okay. So the toothless guy was very nice as well.
Yeah.
He was the owner of this operation.
But you know, to be fair, when the toothless guy yells, "Beware the shadow government," as you're driving away,
right.
He means it.
He means it.
He does want you to beware.
The kid who helped me, so he like intercepted me at the front gate. I'm with a 3-year-old. I just want to look at trees until I find one I like and buy it, right? And he says, "Can I help you?" And I'm like, "We're just going to look around. Thank you very much." You know, I said very sweetly. He said, "Okay." And we had not gotten 20 steps
away. Do you want to just hear some facts about coniferous trees? Nope.
Okay, so funny you should mention that, John.
Random tree facts.
20 steps later, he was back in front of us offering to teach us a few things about the trees.
Wow.
He identified the various trees, and the one that he highlighted was the one that we ended up buying because I was so excited to have been given these tree facts. I was delighted to be upsold on this tree. It has silverish leaves on the underside.
Okay.
And he says to me, as though this is a question that anyone would ever answer no to, "Do you use lights on your tree?"
Oh, okay, cool. Then you're going to want – is this sounding a little bit like a tree shyster to me?
He says it reflects the light.
Sure.
And he says, "This one over here, it's dark. It's going to absorb it." And then his phone rang. He said, "Excuse me, my phone's ringing." He just walked away.
That's toothless retail 101. You got to make the—you can't make the teeth connection. You got to make the connection on something else. Hey, yeah, you put lights on your tree. You look like a guy that puts lights on your tree. Let me tell you something.
If you're in New York City, Vanessa, you can walk into Bergdorf Goodman, and you walk up to that, the champagne counter.
What happens at that establishment?
You walk up to the champagne counter. The perfume counter is what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. You walk up to the perfume counter. The first thing that salesperson is going to say to you is, "I can't help but notice that you have all your teeth. So do I."
Yeah.
And you're going to have that instant bond.
What is that? Crest? Colgate? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Aquafresh.
Sure.
Extreme clean. It's my preferred. you don't have that there, so you're going to have to deal with – and, you know, in this case, you're going to have this conversation. What's the highest level of education you've achieved? And I'll say, "Well, I have a 4-year degree and I went to graduate school for a few months." And then this kid in the red sweatshirt, he's going to go like, "Well, I dropped out after 7th grade, but I've read a lot about trees." Because that's what you want.
Sure.
You're going to make the tree fact connection.
Maybe he's going to ITT Tech or something.
Well, in a lot of ways, he devoted his life. Like, dropping out at that, it's like you know your calling. Like, some
sure.
people like, yeah, I don't need to go on. I'm going to devote my life to, like, being a nun and serving the Lord and stuff. Like, he's like, nope, trees.
Yeah.
That's my call.
I'm going to devote myself to this seasonal job.
To the seasonal. Well, he didn't finish. He didn't finish his education, so that's why he has that mindset of, like, yeah, I'll devote my life to a seasonal job
sure.
because he doesn't know how the rest of the year works.
But maybe he's also into pumpkins.
Maybe.
So at least he can, work at that same lot.
I need to know where this lot is because we might have to go there after, and I need to interview this young man.
Yeah, well, I honestly, I've had a hard time finding a Christmas tree lot I liked in Los Angeles. Year after year, I'm disappointed by the selection of Christmas tree lots, and mm-hmm. I walk out of there bummed out. Because either I go to the Home Depot, where trees are decent and cheap, but I feel like a jerk for going to the Home Depot, and my wife has moral obligations to it because her dad manages an employee-owned hardware store. So it's like the most evil thing you could do to buy anything at Home Depot. And then there's these weird – but the lots are always so shady. This was the best experience I've had. I sincerely recommend this lot at Figueroa and York in Highland Park, Los Angeles.
It sounds like a real hoot.
Now, I would like to – would I like in future to go to a lot – that is operated by some sort of charity? Yes. Was I taking a walk with my baby in a stroller and I walked past a sign that said that there had been a tree sale from 8 to noon at the local elementary school today and I felt like a real dick for having gone to a tree lot instead of going to the local elementary school? Yes, of course. You know, all these things are true.
Listen, we all feel like dicks all the time.
Yeah. But it was a nice place that I went to and they had pink flocking.
No, did you get it pink flocked?
I thought about buying a tree just to get it pink flocked.
Sure.
Like I didn't want my primary tree to be pink flocked.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm not sure if that's child safe.
Yeah. I'm sure that sounds like something they would want to eat.
But I did want it. I mean, another thing that I've thought a lot about is
just bringing random shit in and having them flock it.
Well, yeah. Oh God, yeah. That's a great idea.
Flock the car.
Oh my! What about getting your baby's first shoes flocked?
Sure, absolutely. And maybe if you're having a romantic night with the missus,
mm-hmm.
give her a little surprise when she takes down the trousers. You've got your dick flocked.
Yeah, sure. Oh man, that sounds fun.
That'll lead to some really festive sex.
I kind of wanted to buy like a 3-foot tree to mm-hmm. put here in the office and get it pink flocked.
That'd be cute.
Could I tell you guys what I really want?
Sure.
Yeah.
I really want to get an aluminum Christmas tree
mm-hmm.
of the kind where there's a light that you shine up at it that has like a kaleidoscope that goes over it so it sparkles different colors.
Sounds like fun.
Do you know the kind I'm talking about?
I do know the kind you're talking about.
Like a sort of like 1958 kind.
Are they – it seems like that would be something that would have been found to be poisonous.
Yeah.
I don't know if it maybe gives off a gas, like a nitrate gas.
It gives us nitrous oxide.
Yeah. So everybody's like.
It seems like the kind of thing that like someone saw like a music box open up and have a tree with a light like kind of like going around and like, oh, that's fun. And then they tried to make it into a real thing and we're just kind of like, yeah, we'll just call
yeah.
it.
Oh, I think they're cool though.
No,
really
it is cool.
Like I know. I don't.
But you would be fine with, even if it was poisonous, it driving everyone in the office slowly insane.
Oh, yeah, because they'd be happy.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
what's important. It's
sure.
nitrous oxide.
Yeah.
People would be having a nightmare, but it would be a happy nightmare.
Holiday cheer.
Yeah. Until they just decide to take a leap out the window because God will catch them.
I literally was on Etsy the other day, paging through page after page of 1950s artificial Christmas trees. Thinking about whether I could make the move, but you know how much they cost? Fucking $350.
Really? You're dropping $350?
Now that
does that come with the lights?
That's the kind where it also has the light that you put down at the base. You can't
okay.
put lights on it because it's a fire hazard.
I'm also guessing that'll be the replacement bulbs for that probably a little bit tough to find. I'm thinking about it, you know, all
yeah.
these cool kids
you're
who show movies
like
in their yards on these projectors.
Overhead projector
yeah.
store. You have to go to like a typewriter repair store to do that. Luckily, there is a typewriter repair store down the street from my house. God bless them.
I think if you're a fun couple without kids, you are required to have a projector that you show movies on in your backyard.
Yeah.
That's like, if you guys aren't going to have kids, you got to get this projector and show movies in your backyard.
And you know what else? Fucking put some fun stuff on popcorn. don't just give me buttered popcorn. Like, bare
put
minimum.
Put a little flocking on that. A little talc.
Walk a flock of flame. That's sure. What I say. I think you got to have some of that yeast popcorn. You know mm-hmm. that what I'm talking about?
Sure.
That's your healthy option. I feel like Vanessa just almost winked at me about yeast popcorn and then thought better of it halfway through.
Oh, no. I kind of did, but there was also – I had like an eyelash here too, right. So it was the unintentional wink
combo.
That I was hoping you didn't notice, but clearly
no,
it
I did.
Did.
Combo platter.
Well, then so how good. Do you feel about yeast popcorn then?
Well, I was kind of disappointed because you said, you know, give some fun options, and then you start with like yeast popcorn.
Well,
healthy.
I'm getting to the healthy options.
Right.
The whole point is you have to have a selection.
Okay, well then let's get
what
past,
kind of shitty
let's
party.
Let's get past the safe shit then.
Cheesy, let's get down to business.
Cheesy garlic popcorn.
Okay, now I'm listening. I'm interested.
Maple syrup,
nuts and caramel popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's three great popcorns. It's all pretty straightforward. Anyone can do that at home. Any fun couple with a projector, they're going to show Back to the Future. They're always going to show Back to the Future.
It's always
when
on
they're
there.
Showing Jurassic Park.
Sure. Poltergeist on Halloween.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun get-together.
Now, speaking of the holiday season, on our drive over here, sometimes I like to pick up the guest.
Sure, that way that you can conspire against me.
Sure, exactly. We're going to have these great jokes that Jesse totally isn't in on. And then when his back is turned, shank. Vanessa, you recently watched the En Vogue Christmas special?
I did.
What?
Okay, so Lifetime.
Whoa, hold on, Jordan.
It should be noted, it's not a special. It was a Lifetime movie. I believe it was called, like, the En Vogue Christmas movie, which is still not the creative title.
Wait. Whoa!
Yes. Yeah, it's a thing.
Is it fictional?
Kind. I mean, yes, but it's
based on true events.
Well, no.
Okay, is En Vogue in it?
No. En Vogue is in it, minus Dawn, of course.
I was about to say, is Dawn in it? Okay.
No, yeah, no, she's not in it. But they also.
She's in a separate Christmas movie with Raphael Sadiq, the Lucy Pearl Christmas movie.
I would love if that were a thing.
I'm in.
So, yeah, she's not in it, but they also don't address that she's, like, missing from the group.
Okay.
And it's just kind
of... Is this recent?
Yes, it's recent. David Alan Greer is prominently featured in it.
That's great. Good work, Dag.
Yeah. And so it's kind of, like, the whole thing is kind of like En Vogue saves Christmas. Like, it starts off with this girl who is sent, like... Grew up with, like, her dad
after
uncle.
Ernest died.
Yeah,
there's no
much.
One around to save
there's
Christmas.
No so, yeah, she kind of has a, like, she grew up and her father and her uncle, David Alan Greer, owned, like, this club somewhere that was, like, you know, like the Opry type thing. And that En Vogue would play and she would somehow sell popcorn because I guess that timeline made sense.
Vanessa, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I do exactly mean to do that.
Yes.
The Opry?
That's what they called it in the thing. They called it the Opry. Like, that's what it was called in the film.
Wow.
Yes.
This movie is great!
Yeah. You would think so. So then, like, she realizes the theater's about to go under, and she's been stuck in, like, her career. She became, like, a publicist or something. And then she realizes, like, oh, I can't let this go under. This meant so
is
much
this
to my
period piece?
Father who died. No.
Okay.
So is this not taking set place in 1992 and En Vogue were popular?
No. So it starts off there, but then it jumps to present day.
Oh, okay.
And so she takes it upon herself to, like, well, if I'm going to save this place that my father loved, I got to get the girls back together.
Oh,
so
and
she
19...
tracks down.
Does 1992 En Vogue doesn't have any mention of Dawn?
No. They don't have any mention of Dawn. They show them at the first scene, like, on stage.
They're retconning En Vogue.
Yeah. Oh, and Dawn was, like, upset about it. Like, she was tweeting about, like, they should have had me. She didn't want to be in the film, but she wanted to get paid and have her, like, likeness in the film.
Like
so
a CGI.
Like
a CGI version.
Film?
Yeah. And she wanted to get paid for them using her name and everything. So they just didn't. So then this girl has to go and she has to track down the other three members who are all doing, like, one's trying to work on a solo album with, like, a manager boyfriend who's just using her for her money. The other one is, like,
trying
teaching.
To get at that trying to get it that En Vogue money.
Yes.
Sure.
My favorite part of the whole thing.
You're never going to get it.
Never going to get it. My favorite part of the whole thing is, like, they find, I think it's like Terry Ellis, who's, she's teaching kids, and the kid just complains, but oh my God, I can't believe you're, I mean, you've won a Grammy and En Vogue'd it. Like, she just kind of gives all of their stats as if it were a normal line that a child would be saying in any given day with a music, like a voice coach she's had this whole time.
Kids love En Vogue.
Yeah.
Look, I got a 3-year-old. He'll come up to me. He wants to talk Funky Divas. He's coming at me. He's like, let's talk about En Vogue. Let's talk about their Grammys. Let's talk about their collaborations. Let's talk about, were they friends with Tony? Tony are rivals.
You know, I think, if you go on YouTube, you see all these young kids who have made models of En Vogue in Minecraft.
Yeah,
and I think that is a testament
exactly.
to their staying power.
And even some who've made models of Lucy Pearl because they love Dawn so much. Dawn is the hot one.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them's a homely woman.
Yeah, well, they had the woman that, I forget her name. I want to say it was like maybe Rhonda or something. They brought in to replace Dawn after Dawn left the group. Like,
oh.
She was also.
I thought they went from 4 to 3 after Dawn left the group.
I don't. I mean, there were 3 in the film, but I feel like it was someone that they brought in late. So
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they are playing pretty fast and loose.
They're
with
playing
the
very
En Vogue.
With the whole idea of En Vogue. Like they ended up having to dedicate more time to David Alan Grier than I think they wanted to.
Well, you know, you got that.
Because
dad. You
with the girls, it was kind of all over the place, and then. Like, they I don't know. It
so
was
how
did well, but anyways, they end up performing. They save this like. I guess opera house or whatever the fuck this place that her dad owned kind of and like blew gambling money
on. The Grand
on
Old
find
Opry.
Out. Yeah, pretty. That's pretty much. I think they like called it that at some point.
Nashville's legendary
sure.
Grand Old Opry.
Oh, but oh, and two, and they try to show.
I mean,
that
when
it's,
you
like,
think
modern.
About the Grand Old Opry, Dolly Parton,
sure, you think
Waylon
Dolly Parton,
Jennings,
Waylon Jennings certainly, Earl Scruggs.
Yeah. En Vogue, Paula Abdul, and MC Scat Cat. They all got their start. They were all busking on the street.
You probably don't know this, Vanessa, but you know the song by Boyz II Men, Motown Philly?
Of course I do.
It's about the Grand Ole Opry.
So, but the thing they need you to know in this film is it's like it's all about En Vogue now. And so now like it gets announced on the interwebs to everybody that En Vogue's going to do a reunion show. And Twitter starts going
crazy. Wait, is this in the world of the movie?
This is in the world of the movie. Twitter starts going crazy. And
that
then
doesn't
they
seem that far-fetched.
Screen,
I think if that happened.
But they have it on a screen pulled up and the girls are watching and they're just like reading comments. And it's almost like they shut down the fucking internet because people are just, they can't believe it that En Vogue is getting back together.
Hashtag Black Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's all about like, it's
Look,
somehow.
Twitter shuts down when BB's kid, Bebe's kids runs on BET.
Yeah.
I don't see why it wouldn't when En Vogue gets back
fair
together.
Enough. Fair enough. But
I was going to make a Bebe's kids joke, but I thought it would be racist.
You thought.
But it does shut down Twitter.
It's a quality film.
But no, I think with a combination of the enthusiasm of Black Twitter and just the internet's love of the 90s, I do think that's not that far-fetched. I think if the En Vogue reunion got announced, it would be a pretty significant seismic event online.
I mean, they have been touring. Here's the thing. En Vogue have been touring very heavily.
Yeah, maybe they're not broken up.
Since their, like the absence of their most beautiful member/lead singer mm-hmm. has not stopped En Vogue. From,
clearly, it's film.
Yeah, and so
they should tour with the dead Kennedys that don't have Jello Biafra. Just to be like, here's everyone but the one you want to see.
It takes some sophistication in your En Vogue fandom to know that the big issue is that Dawn is missing.
Sure,
it's like if Tony got back together without Raphael mm-hmm. Sadiq because he was busy being in Lucy Pearl with Dawn, who also quit Lucy Pearl, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I believe Joy then joined Lucy Pearl. But let's say Dwayne Wiggins was being the lead singer for the reunited Tony. I don't think it shut down the internet, but – I don't think people would have the sophistication to understand
sure.
that Raphael Sadiq is missing.
Yeah, but I think with all these kind of 90s things, you know, unless you have a very powerful presence in that part, people just kind of want to hear the hits, you know?
Yeah.
They kind of don't care if it's the original keyboard player from Smash Mouth
I think
when they go to Summerfest.
With En Vogue, too, I think, like, people want to hear the hits.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also just happy to hear them sing whatever. Just like if you go – like if you went to see – I know there's a couple of Boys to Men that don't tour with Boys to Men. Like I think they're friendly.
Michael. What's it? Michael Bicari, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't tour. Which – because I think – and I looked this up. I think it's due to
– Thank God.
Well, no. It was – it's not Scully. It's something that affects it, – it's something that doesn't sound too crazy, but he stopped touring because of it.
Is he a hunchback now?
No. But I'm like, but he's the dude that's like, all he can walk out there and just talk. Like, he's not doing any, like, you know, Wanye type vocal tricks.
Mm-hmm.
They can, even if he has to be, like, wheelchair bound for, like, an extreme condition, they can wheel him out. He can, you know, say his sentence or two and then peace out. Like,
is he the one who, like, talks to the ladies?
Yeah. Girl. You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he's.
Sure,
he's
he
the
does
girl
that.
Guy.
In those R&B groups, was there one guy who was in charge of that?
I feel like.
Or
for
did
the
they
most
spread
part,
that around? Anyway.
No, I feel like there was kind of a designated guy, but I.
Well, a lot of times you want. There's two different people that you're going to throw mm-hmm. that duty to, I think. Your first person is your Justin Timberlake, your
sure.
charismatic front man, your main guy. Not all groups have that guy. You know, some everybody's equal. Look, the Spinners have two head lead mm-hmm. singers, okay? But a lot of groups will have one guy who's obviously the main guy, and he probably sings tenor, and he's probably sings the lead on most of the songs. You know what I mean? So that guy can break out. But then you got your bass. Your bass is going to bust out with that from time to time, one way or another, because a bass singer in most of these groups doesn't do that much singing. Like, mostly just will occasionally go boom boom.
Yeah.
But he has the ability to
yeah,
step
sure.
out
quality.
At any moment and just go, damn, girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just bring it in, muffled tones of Barry White style. God, I love this subject of conversation.
I want to ask about how was Christmas involved? It doesn't seem like it was.
Okay, so I think the idea was by saving this theater that meant so much to this girl and her father, who she later found out, like, was going to lose it because he blew money in a gambling debt. It saved this, like, community somehow. And also it showed – because in the movie –
because the community – the Opry or the opera.
Yeah,
this was like,
whichever place it was.
You know, like, this is like a – Ford plant to Flint, Michigan. Like,
right.
This is keeping – it's a company
Everybody
town.
There.
It's a company town. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, too, it wasn't portrayed – like, En Vogue was kind of reluctant to get back together because they're like, I don't know. I mean, we kind of had a difficult – like, she had to really kind of convince them. And then when they saw the social media outcry, they
sure.
were like, we have people who care. Let's go do this.
Tell
so
me
it
about
kind
the-
of helped En Vogue believe in themselves
so,
as
so,
a unit.
So En Vogue were inspired to rally for their fans.
Yeah.
That rally saved the opera or the opera.
Yeah, whichever.
Which
place
in
that
turn
was.
Saved the town that was about to go under
well,
around Christmas
lost,
time, therefore saving Christmas. Am I right about
spirit,
that?
They lost their spirit and they lost their soul.
Sure.
And En Vogue helped them find their way back.
Jesse, you have a question.
Sorry.
I have a question. Was Charles S. Dutton in it or am I just wish he was?
I think you just wish he was.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, though.
Now, if it is you, in addition to the En Vogue
they don't
Christmas
have that
movie,
kind of budget.
No, I don't want to get off the topic of the En Vogue. I have more questions
okay,
about the En
sure.
Vogue. Jordan, come on. It's like if Vanessa had come in here and said she just watched a Lifetime movie about all the characters from Street Fighter getting together and saving Christmas,
sure.
you would
Which
have
I
questions.
I would watch that.
That
as
would
well.
Be great, yeah.
This is
a very Street Fighter Christmas.
This is very important to 11-year-old
sure.
Jesse right
I
now,
understand.
Okay? Now, look, did I prefer Tony? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But did I love En Vogue? Yes. Okay. Give me some idea. We know Dag is a great actor because he went to the Yale School of Drama.
Yes.
Give me some idea of the acting performances we saw from the second, third, and fourth best members of En Vogue.
It was a lot of them receiving compliments and then going, oh. Oh, thank you so much. You're just too kind. Like acting like
Just the same way they act at their state fair shows.
Yeah, at their state fair shows.
Is that where it involves place
also,
these days? State
they
fair
knew
show.
It was in the script. They knew they were going to get like a gigantic compliment of someone being like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm meeting you. I mean, you've been nominated for Grammys. And then they just had to be like, oh, that's just so sweet of you. I don't even know what to say. This is just all so surprising.
Now, were there any moments like, okay, that seems like that's super doable. Were there any moments of either high comedy or like high drama that they had to play? Were there, does anyone have to, you know, hold someone who's just slit their wrists in a bathtub, for instance?
No. I mean, I feel like that's the kind of scene you do if you have Dawn because she can pull that shit off.
Yeah, sure.
But it was more like for one of the members, like the newer one, it was a conflict between like, you know, she has a daughter now and she has this other life and she's not about that in Vogue life anymore. And her daughter was just like, but how come, you know, how come I'm the last to know? I saw it all over the internet because it's everywhere that you guys were reuniting and you didn't tell me, like your own daughter. And so it creates like a tense situation where she's just like, the music business can be rough and I don't want my daughter.
Sure. To grow up around that.
To grow up around that.
Do they sing any holiday favorites?
There's not holiday favorites, but they do get into the, you know, Hold On.
Right.
Do you think – it seems like maybe Christmas was retroactively shoved into this.
Yes, I think it was. But I also think it's that thing like with Lifetime. Like I watched the Aaliyah movie, which was terrible. And since it's like unauthorized by certain member – like I think with Dawn not signing off and I don't know how the licensing works with the music, they can only do certain songs. Like for the Aaliyah one – they could do a song that was off of, like, a soundtrack.
It was just Aaliyah singing Camp Town Races.
Pretty much. Because, like, they could only use a song that was off of a soundtrack and not off of one of her specific albums. Or they could use...
My favorite part in the Aaliyah movie was when R. Kelly asked her to marry him, found out it was illegal because she was too young, and then suggested they record an album of Stephen Foster classics.
Yeah.
After the Ball. Her rendition of After the Ball is just amazing.
Soulful. Yeah. Soulful.
So soulful. I would love to go to – this is what En Vogue have, 2014. Even without Dawn Robinson, if you said to me, Jesse, I've got an extra ticket to the En Vogue holiday concert, that sounds fucking great to me. That's the thing that they're delivering. I feel like they have a lifetime – just like – you know, there's a whole group of entertainers who, like, they're just pre-sold. Like, they can be – I bet En Vogue, when they're not doing state fairs, I bet they all star in black theater – touring black theater productions.
Oh, sure.
You know those kind of things I'm talking about? Like, that made Tyler Perry famous? Mm-hmm. Like, the fucking ticket is stamped, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Leverts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole Levert family. The Winans. You know, the Winans are just – they're in business. They don't have to worry about it. They're set.
How did this
– I just wanted – note that I believe they did do Silent Night because I'm remembering a scene where they're like rehearsing. They're doing Silent Night and the girl who's like kind of gets them all together, she's just kind of looking at them, shaking her head of like, oh, man, it's just so beautiful. Like kind of teary-eyed. So they do – I think they do touch on some Christmas hits.
Was it a classic arrangement or a contemporary style?
Oh, it was a classic arrangement.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't
they're
funky at all?
Ladies.
No, that one they decided to.
I've heard these divas are somewhat funky.
Now, tell me how because you're a semi regular watcher of Lifetime Entertainment.
I'm a big fan of failure.
Lifetime and Hallmark, or just Lifetime?
Just Lifetime. But I did have a friend who was in like the Hallmark movie that was on last week, a Christmas one about like a beagle puppy that ends up like taking Anne Heche and a bunch of people on a Christmas adventure. So I did like I watched that, but I also
if that was a fake synopsis you came up with like for a sketch, would not be better.
Okay, so I did watch it because I had like a friend on it, but I was also
you were friends with the beagle.
I wish.
Yeah.
Like at the same time as the Walking Dead finale.
Sure.
And so I was slipping back and forth. And so it's kind of a, like a murky picture.
They've blended together.
No, they did. It was a thing of like, well, I hope Rick has a great Christmas. Like it just ended up. So I didn't see the film in its entirety, but I hit like the bullet points of both things I was watching.
Mm-hmm. I would fucking love to be in one of those Hallmark movies. movies.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be great? You already live the dream of getting killed in a horror film.
Yeah, it's true.
What was it called? Faces of Death 2?
Yeah. Go to your local video store. Buy the pornos. There's an old VHS of me falling off a bridge. The ABCs of Death 2, now
ABCs
available on demand. I still haven't seen it. Does anyone want to come over to my house and watch it? Anyway, just putting that out there.
I don't want to. I'm afraid to.
Sure.
Scares me.
Yeah.
Don't want to see my friend Jordan get killed.
It'll be okay because I'll be sitting there next to you.
Yeah, you'll know how it turned out.
It's not real.
Will you squeeze me tight?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Here, I'll tell you when the scary part is coming up. You could put your head under the blanket and I'll tell you when it's over. And I'll also tell you if there's any kissing.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you can make sure to watch very closely. Anyway. I was going to ask. Oh, by the way, did everything turn out okay with Anne Haitian, the Christmas puppy?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, she kind of realized that even after divorce, like, she has her kids and this great community around her, and she's going to be just fine.
What about the zombies? Are they okay?
There were some casualties with the zombies. But to be fair, the puppy was in the car. You wouldn't believe it. The gas ran out. So
Anne Haitian and her kids. Suck and fuck for money.
Yeah.
How did the Invoke Christmas special stack up to other recent Lifetime movies? Not as good as the Aaliyah movie.
The Aaliyah movie was, it was terrible, but it was just, it was kind of like, hey, so here's the best we can do without people saying we can tell like parts of her life. So it was kind of, that's what it was. In Vogue was just very – it felt very like Scooby-Doo to me of just kind of this cartoony premise of we're going to get the whole gang back together and we're going to save this place.
Sure.
But I love the regular Lifetime movies because it's always something that starts like small of a – like this teenage girl is like, I'm going to send my boyfriend a sexy picture. And then for no reason, he sends it to the whole school. And then so she spends like 10 minutes on her computer before deciding she's going to kill herself. Mm. And then the mom's got to spend the next hour and a half of the movie getting like revenge and justice for her daughter, starting with the high school principal. Like, and it's just all of these extremes. Oh, and then the mother of the girl that drove her to it is like, I'm going to protect my daughter by any means necessary.
So
it's always, yeah. So then it becomes like.
So what starts with a simple sext turns an entire town into murderous maniacs.
Everyone's revenging each other. And no one at the police, like, none of the cops are on her side except for one guy who thinks, no, like, she's a mother. She knows her daughter better than anyone. There's got to be something to this.
And that guy, Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like a really compelling plot, but it seems like a weird way to tell the behind-the-scenes story of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Oh, that was awful, too.
You know, I gave that one a shot.
Yeah. They were so trying not to let on that they're Canadian, but they were so bad at it.
Yeah. Everyone was so sorry. One of those sorries will slip out.
Sorry, Zach.
Yeah. I got 20 minutes in and had to turn it off. I kind of thought there would be some sort of kind of campy fun to it other than the Canadian-ness, but I don't know. Couldn't do it. Seemed too boring.
You know, they shot that at our friend Dave Shumka from Stop Podcasting Yourself's office.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he would just sort of sneak in.
Yeah.
While they were shooting it. Yeah, I don't want to watch the Saved by the Bell movie. I like this Funky Divas holiday extravaganza a lot better.
I think I just need I'm going to talk to the audience for a little bit, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
I need 8 gay guys to come over to my house periodically. I'm making mimosas.
Right.
I'm making drinks.
Right.
Beers.
Right.
Apps.
Right.
Come on over and help me appreciate what it really means to goof on a Lifetime movie. Yeah. I'm just in my fucking house with my cat. I'm not going to get the full experience.
Well, here's kind of how I saw this
Saved
by the Bell.
Guys.
The Saved by the Bell Lifetime movie was like, okay, so there's two videos of Dustin Diamond basically jerking off. This is the lesser of the evils. Because he was a producer on it, so it was very much like, and I think it was based off of a book that he did, so it was very much his story of the way things happen. And even like if you saw the first couple of minutes where it starts and he goes, time out, and like then tells Zach to step aside, where he's like, my time out, this is my story. It's very
oh
like, oh, he's off the rails.
Sure. this is the story they didn't want you to hear.
Yeah, this is the story you needed to tell because you needed
the
money.
But the brave troubadours at Lifetime.
Dustin Diamond is an unstoppable entertainment force, whether he's writing books,
sure,
producing movies, or telling off-color jokes about disabled people on our show in 2002.
What?
Yeah.
He was one of our first big guests on our college radio show and was just a really weird,
awful.
Evil
I would
man.
Say he was awful.
Sure, he's probably wicked.
Yeah.
I saw Mr. Belding at a bar once and he seemed really nice.
Yeah.
He was having a lot of fun doing karaoke wearing Crocs.
Hey, you know, Dave and Graham are friends with the guy who played Mr. Belding in the movie. He was on Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah. I don't want to play somebody. When I say that I want to be in one of these movies, I don't want to be in the Aaliyah story. I don't want to be in something sordid. I want to be in something starring a puppy, and I don't want to be the funny one. Mm-hmm. I just want a real job in like a – I want a few lines. I want one scene, but I'll just be a guy that works in a diner or whatever. That's
sure.
fine.
You know what? I think I would – hearing the story of the sexed revenge – I was thinking of a part for myself. I could be like the evil hacker that distributes it.
Oh yeah,
and that'd be
that
pretty good.
Fun.
I have a smoky lair where I have my servers.
You got an enhance button?
Yeah, I got an enhance button. There's a lot of like action figures around, but not anything that would require licensing. So it's a bunch of just like generic
just dollar
monsters
store
and
wrestling
stuff.
Figures.
Yeah, exactly. Like just dinosaurs you get from the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And and I just love. I hate women so much. And I just want to destroy them.
Tell me about it.
So I intercept this sex.
Let's talk about this movie you want to be in, though.
I'm going to I intercept the sext from America Online. I hack into America Online, intercept the sext, distribute it to the entire school. And then mom murders me with one of those home bread makers. Sticks my head in
Stick your head in there and then puts the lid on top and presses start.
Puts in the yeast and then leaves my head there for 16 hours.
Leaves you to
prove. I mean,
proof.
If you're willing to pay your way to Canada, I feel like that's a very real possibility.
Oh, yeah. I will fly myself out there. I'm not making any money off this.
No, I don't care to make money off of it.
Yeah.
I just want to be a star.
I know.
Is that too much to ask?
Sure.
Just go to Vancouver to become a star?
It's not. Yeah. Get off the bus.
Vanessa, what of all of these things that you've ever seen, what did you find to be the most enjoyable?
Let's see. At some point they all start to run together, but there's a lot of – you remember the movie Double Jeopardy?
No.
Okay. So have you seen Double Jeopardy?
I have not seen Double Jeopardy.
So it's basically – yes. Well, yeah. It's like Ashley Judd and her husband fakes his death. And, like, this whole thing, and then she finds out he ran off with, like, her friend is living this other life. So that's kind of where all Lifetime movies come from, is, like, a husband faking their death.
So there's a semi-credible movie out there that all these other movies
are
just trying to
but all they do is, like, amp up the craziness of it.
Mm-hmm. I want to be in, like, a non-religious Christian movie.
Oh, that would be fun.
Like, I don't really want to be in one of those Kirk Cameron movies.
But what are the nice ones?
Yeah, what are the non-religious ones, then?
I want to be in one. Well, I don't mind if God makes an appearance by demonstrating the power of providence and prayer.
Sure.
I just don't want to be in one of those ones that's about, how amoral creationists are.
Sure.
I mean, evolutionists are. I like a puppy thing. Like, I want to be in, like, one of the Thomas Kinkade movies, like the movies that are based on Thomas Kinkade paintings.
Oh, yeah. Like, based on the beloved painting.
Like, you go and you hang out. You have some crafty.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You probably get to wear a fun sweater in the movie.
Yeah, you get to wear a nice sweater. There's some cheese doodles. You know what I mean? Or you're like a biker guy or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they give you some leathers. You put them on. You're like, hey, I'm a biker guy.
So, Jesse, you want to be a biker guy who... Yeah. Maybe comes to Christ, although they don't explicitly say it. You just say that you're going to turn your life around.
Right.
It's kind of a general, right. General sort of Christianity.
Right.
I would like to be the evil hacker that distributes sexts.
Right.
Through hacking into America Online.
Vanessa, your choice?
I think I want to be the kind of nosy friend that, like, just so happens to encourage the person just going, well, I called in a favor for my brother's friend at the police station, and he was able to find out that Susan used to go by Amy. Like, I want to be that person. Also, based on what you were saying about the type of movie you want to be in, I feel like you want to be in something that stars someone who was on Party of Five.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's the plight of the, like, 90s star who didn't take off. It's, like, just kind of semi-ironically appearing in.
The limbo that is Lifetime and Hallmark.
Yeah. And Heche, though.
That's a pretty steep fall, right? She was, like, a movie star for a little bit, right?
Is she a mad woman?
I don't
know. Is that one of the issues with Anne Heche?
So, I think she's a Robert Downey Jr.-esque or a pre-comeback Robert Downey Jr.-esque, mm-hmm. like, public drunk, right? Confirmation. I don't know. Hard to say.
Good work, Colin. Thanks
I think
for
she
looking
is.
That up.
Is Anne Heche drunk? Don't make me ask Cortana. I don't have a Windows phone anymore.
You don't have a Windows phone anymore?
I broke my Windows phone.
Oh, what did you get?
An Android.
Oh, well, now you got an Android.
Now I got an Android.
So you're not sweating it.
Nah, I got an Android. I'm making Android money.
Hey, you want to fly this helicopter I got over here?
Oh, nice. Are we going to Vancouver to become stars?
Just so you guys know.
We just land on Brandon Routh's helipad.
You guys probably already knew that I'm a social media influencer.
Yeah.
I recently obtained a free drone helicopter.
Pretty good.
Oh,
wait. Are you going to use it to spy on Americans?
No. I'm going to use it to murder terrorists.
Oh, good. That's the good kind of drone.
And whoever happens to be nearby. It was given to me by a popular razor company because they saw that I had a shaved head in my Twitter avatar. I don't really have a shaved head. I certainly don't have a home shaved head. I got a taper. I got a taper on here.
Well, you use a picture of Bruce Willis for your avatar, right?
That's true. I do use a picture
of
Bruce
Willis.
You
just want people to think you play rock harmonica at the openings of Planet Hollywood.
I don't know. I prefer the All-Star Cafe. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay.
Wayne Gretzky, Ken Griffey Jr. I don't remember.
Michael Jordan?
Else. Michael Jordan?
There was a cartoon where Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and I think Bo Jackson used their sports powers mm-hmm. to defeat aliens.
Bo Jackson was definitely involved in that.
How was that related to the All-Star Cafe?
I don't know, and Colin hasn't told
us. Was it a cartoon made to promote the All-Star Cafe?
This is what happens when Sonny D goes on vacation. The whole fucking house of cards falls apart.
We don't know if Anne Heche is a drunk.
We don't know who was involved in the All-Star Cafe, the sports answer to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Which later led to Fashion Cafe.
Cafe?
Yeah, that was a spinoff
that's a,
of
that's
the...
That's a Tyra Banks joint, right?
I feel like it was some model around that time period because I was at, like, the All-Star Cafe when I saw, like, a pink ad for the Fashion Cafe.
Sure.
And I don't think
maybe
Fashion
a Kate
Cafe
Moss and Naomi
long.
Campbell.
The idea Something was like that. That it would just be couples trading favors indefinitely into the future. I like that. I think that's fun. Okay. Well, we've resolved nothing. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la,
la. Hello, I'm Taku, the Elven Magician.
Merle Highchurch here, the master of clerical magic.
I'm Magnus Burnsides, the fighter.
Did you guys like that? Did you, the listener, like that? You were just swept up in a world of high fantasy and magic where anything can happen and anything is possible. Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, Dungeon Master for The Adventure Zone, a new podcast on Maximum Fun, in which magic and mystery intertwine for a very erotically charged role-playing experience. You can catch it every other Thursday here on MaximumFun.org or iTunes. It's for Dungeons & Dragons, but with family.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, Steel Santa.
Vanessa Ramos, Celebrity Pet Chef.
I would like to take this opportunity to mention that Max FunCon is now officially sold out.
Oh.
However, if you still want to go to Max FunCon,
go fuck yourself.
No, don't.
Oh, sorry.
Don't. Email waitlist at maximumfun.org with
backslash. Go
your,
fuck yourself.
No, Jordan. Okay. Waitlist at maximumfun.org with your.
Sorry, I'm just really aggro today. I'm juicing.
Well, sure. You're getting Jack LaLanne on us.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm going to pull a bus later.
Waitlist at MaximumFun.org. Tell us your phone number and the number of people in your party. Because this is the first year we've had we offered people the chance to reserve their slot at last year's MaxFunCon for this year's MaxFunCon. And, you know, so we expect that some of those people will ultimately not use the slot that they reserved. So by a few weeks from now, we'll be starting to call people from the waitlist. So waitlist at MaximumFun.org if you want to come to MaxFunCon, which you probably should. Come hang out with me and Jordan. Let's get down to brass tacks, Jordan.
I'd love to. Love them brass tacks. Yum, yum.
No, Jordan, you don't eat brass tacks.
Well, now you tell me.
You use them for upholstery.
I could also sprinkle them on ice cream.
Well, you
can. They call them jimmies in the in the Midwest,
I believe. That's what they call chocolate sprinkles.
Well, now I'm confused.
Okay. So, Vanessa, maybe you can lend me a hand here. Brass tacks are like little devices that you push into things. They're pokey. They're very pokey. And then chocolate sprinkles are like little pieces of chocolate that make a great thing to put on top of a sundae, for example.
That's how I've understood those two things, yeah.
So, like, you could use chocolate sprinkles or jimmies to do upholstery, but they'd probably melt and you'd be back to zero. And you could put the tacks on the ice cream, but the problem that you're going to have there is they're going to really poke the heck out of your mouth.
I'm feeling a little bit silly. I do see now that these are two different things. Will chocolate sprinkles make a bloody wasteland out of my rectum?
In mass quantities, I feel like lots of things will.
You're probably right. Okay.
So that's what you're looking for?
Guys, I'm just going on a juice cleanse. It all seems like too much work.
Yeah.
And I will talk about it.
If something momentous happens to you, like say your rectum is turned into a bloody wasteland, we want you to call us. 206-984-4FUN is our telephone number for our segment, Momentous Occasions. Let's take a listen to our first call.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. Hi, guest. My 4-year-old son just told my wife, excuse me, I have to go visit Mr. Poo-Poo's house, and then went in the bathroom to poop. I'm pretty proud of him. Okay. Bye.
That's cool, man.
That's great. To that kid, the bathroom is where poop lives? I'm just trying to get a sense of the reality he's trying to create.
Or he's just a super funny kid.
Yeah.
My son's 3. He makes jokes, but his jokes are just he says something that's not happening is happening, and he goes, I'm just joking.
That's pretty good.
This kid could sell a sitcom to CBS just off of this alone.
Called Mr. Poo-Poo's House.
I mean, if he could get Burt Reynolds involved,
just
why not?
Yeah.
Sinbad or someone else from the 90s crossing their arms.
Sinbad is forced through, a series of contrivances to room with Josh Gad. And then they...
If you got Josh Gad, you can't not sell a sitcom.
And then, hold on, and then they have to, you know, go into the bathroom fixture business, Mr. Poo-Poo's House.
I love it.
Brilliant.
How much money do I owe this kid? Does he get EP credit?
And how much do you owe the kid or how much do you owe Josh Gad? Because you're going to have to get out your checkbook to get Josh Gad.
I know. So. I'm prepared to pony up for Gad. I'm just like wondering what's the fair way to cut this kid in? Because, I mean, he came up with the name and the general vibe of the show.
Consultant?
Yeah, there you go. I like that. That's fair.
Seems appropriate for his age. And
yeah.
Jordan, we're not talking about post Balls of Fury Josh Gad. We're talking about post Frozen Josh Gad.
I'm not worried about paying for Gad,
Jesse. This is the second apex of Josh Gad's career.
I know. They say there are no second acts in American life. But when you voice a funny talking snowman in Frozen.
He actually does a really good job in Frozen.
Oh, sure. Josh Gad's funny.
Well, he is funny. He's a talented guy. That's why he keeps getting these opportunities.
To be paired with Sinbad.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of opportunities, you know what I think would be a good idea?
Hmm.
What if we put together a television pilot with Taya Leone?
I like it.
Call me crazy.
I don't know.
It's just an idea I have. Okay, let's hear our next call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is James in Denver. Just driving around downtown, and I saw a guy walking a reindeer like a dog. So that was pretty momentous. All right, have a good one. Bye.
Denver, huh? Sounds like this guy was stoned. Ha! They legalized weed.
Yeah, either that or he's not actually in Denver. He's actually at the North Pole.
Yeah, because he got too stoned.
He's too stoned. He was in Denver, and then he accidentally got on a plane to the North Pole.
Yeah.
Everything I learned from Lifetime, this guy is on his way to save Christmas. The guy walking the reindeer, wherever his end point is.
Yeah.
That's where he's
in the process
Christmas.
Of saving Christmas. Yeah. Wow. Well, I guess this year, when we're all, you know, round the hearth, opening up our presents.
He gets there. He opens the door. Inside, on the left-hand side, Kirk Franklin. On the right-hand side, Sounds of Blackness. Music swells! Christmas is saved!
Oh, man. Thank you, walking reindeer guy.
We have one more call, Colin. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. This is Ian calling from New Haven, Connecticut, and it's about 4 in the morning on a very cool, crisp autumn day, and I'm driving home from my crappy job through downtown New Haven, and I just saw somebody parachute down from the sky onto the street, right into downtown, came in through kind of where a parking garage is, and I don't know where they came from. I don't know where they're going. Just kind of hit the ground running, took a corner, dropped up the parachute and kept running. I don't know if this is a new D.B. Cooper or some sort of extreme sport thing, but I don't know. It's pretty exciting.
It's an extreme sport called parachute bolting, where you parachute in, then you bolt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like that's a thing. It's like guys put on the GoPro. They, you know, scale some sort of building they're not supposed to be on. They do some base jumping. They run from the cops, and then they put it on YouTube. And this is a genre. This is a thing.
He's in New Haven, Connecticut.
That
though.
Was the thing that didn't add up to me, too.
Here's the
He's
thing,
a
like,
New Haven daredevil.
Off the Yale library?
Yeah. Like, what's the
fourth floor?
We live in a time to where a human falls from the sky, and we're inconvenienced.
Yeah.
More so than, like, holy shit. It's like, oh, look at this asshole.
Oh, come on.
Who the think you are?
That guy's got to be careful about, I mean, New Haven is a tough town. I guess we got to be careful about his parachute. One time our friend Tyler McNiven was, what's that thing, paragliding? Parasailing?
Parasailing.
Parasailing. The one where you fly through the air but with a parachute.
Is a boat towing you?
No, you're not getting pulled by a boat.
Okay. Well, I don't know what this is. Something.
Parasailing. Is that parasailing?
Hang gliding. Hang gliding?
No, not hang gliding.
Wingsuit.
That's where you're on a hang glider.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about with a parachute.
Okay, so just jumping off something with a parachute then.
So one time Tyler was doing this thing and he like ran into a cliff and like broke his, what did Tyler break? His
Everything?
Arm or his leg? His arm and leg
sure.
or something. So he knew what to do and everything. And they took him to the hospital and got his arm or leg or whatever it was fixed. And they just left his paraglider there. And somebody stole it.
Huh.
It costs like $4,000.
You know, you're toting a guy off to the emergency room. You don't want to like take the time to wrap up his.
No, you got to stuff it back in the bag.
Like a base jumping equipment.
Like a kid's sleeping bag. You know, you get something, you got to stuff it in there.
Is that a paramedic's responsibility?
What's going to happen? Is his arm going to break again some more?
Well, I'm just saying, like, there could be hemorrhaging.
What's a paramedic's life worth? Less than $4,000.
Sure. No, you're right.
Well, I just want to see the person. Because if you steal it and you don't have, like, that experience, I don't think it's for use. I feel like you're going to be one of these hardcore pawn people that, like, has to go tell the story of, like, well, yeah, I mean, this was passed on to me from my grandfather. The blood there, oh, just disregard that. It totally it's part of the thing. And then, like, the weird chicken hawk looking guy with a ponytail has to talk to his, like, obnoxious son about how much they're going to offer.
I'm just guessing. I
one
mean,
of
maybe
those situations.
This is
sure.
a new one of these classic situations. This seems like, I mean, maybe it's his new haven. Maybe this is just some sort of extreme whiff and poof.
Maximum whip and poof.
Yeah, they're like, fuck acapella. Fuck acapella versions of popular songs. We're going to do more illegal 4 a.m. bass jumping.
Can you guys please turn off your phones, by the way?
Sorry, Jesse.
I'm trying to do a podcast here. You guys are getting text messages from my friend Ben. Oh, this is the worst.
Jesse, do you need to take a minute to have a conversation with Cortana?
Yeah, I do, real quick. Sorry, I got a Windows Phone 7. I don't have Cortana.
Okay, you should get Cortana. It's fun.
Yeah, well, but then I...
Cortana's helpful in a lot of situations.
Can I tell you a secret?
Before I broke mine, I relied on her a lot.
I was thinking about getting a new phone because my phone's several years old and I got it for free to begin with and it's a little bit broken. But then AT&T, my provider, tried to steal a bunch of money from me.
Oh, dear.
And I had to fight with them for like 3 months or 4 months to get it back. And I won eventually. But I am both paralyzed by a disinterest in changing cell phone providers. And then the parallel is I don't want to reward them by buying a phone from them, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm just going to suffer.
Yeah, on principle. Principles. Principles.
So that's where I'm at. 206-984-4FUN is the number to call. 206-984-4FUN. Put it in your goddamn phone. You can even put that in a you know Motorola Razr if you,
Who'll, you know who will stick it in there for you? Cortana.
Yeah. Hey, Cortana.
Here, just turn on Cortana now and we'll talk to her. You don't even have to do it.
Okay.
Cortana, add Jordan Jesse Go to contacts. Thanks, fellas. I'll do that. You're looking great today.
Are you the voice of Cortana or did you just play back Cortana just now?
No, I actually, I do the voice.
Oh, my God.
Good. What do you want me to say in the Cortana voice? I'll do it. This is, I'm sure that, I mean, I feel a lot like when I do stuff like this. It's like, you know, when Seth MacFarlane goes on a talk show, that people just want to hear Stewie.
And he just wants to sing a Frank Sinatra song.
So we'll do Stewie, and then let me get to my show. But I'm happy to do it. You know, I'm happy to, you know, to dance the dance. So what do you want to hear in the Cortana voice? Anything?
Well, hold on. When you say Stewie, what's the guy who plays Stewie?
Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, you mean movie star Seth MacFarlane? From the movie that he starred in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. What do you want to hear?
Well, I mean, it seems like the natural thing would be like Zune will live forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that. Sure. That's a popular one. Zune will live forever. You're looking great today.
No, don't just play it back on Cortana.
No, that was me doing it.
No, come on,
I know
Jordan.
It was unkid. Look, watch my mouth as I do it.
Okay. I can't quite see your mouth because of the pop filter.
Oh, sure. Well, just so you'll have to trust me.
Yeah, because I don't want you to pop.
Yeah.
Okay, so something else you could say is a Chevy Camaro is a great performance value.
A Chevy Camaro is a great performance value. See, you're looking great today.
Now, again, see, this is the thing, Vanessa. Jordan claims he can do voices, but what he really does is he just types it into his phone and then
plays it back.
I don't
even have one. I have an Android. Yeah.
It's like we don't realize we're right here. And
yeah.
We can see the charade that is happening in front of us.
Do you guys want to hear
that
from...
I think David Copperfield really made the Statue of Liberty disappear?
Okay. I think I can prove this to you guys. Who do you want to hear from next? Peanut or Ahmed the Dead Terrorist?
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, Cortana. Voice of Cortana, I guess I should say.
Vanessa Ramos, still celebrity pet chef.
I'm sort of like the Don Robinson of this podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm the prettiest.
Sure.
In fact.
I have the most beautiful voice. And I'm quitting.
Well, I guess we could replace you or we could just soldier on without you and then you don't get to be in the Christmas movie. We're not going to even pay you for your license. There. Boom.
Guys?
I take you back. Okay. You're back in.
Still the prettiest.
But you're on you're on shaky ground. We know. We're not going to fight you on that. But I just don't want you to be wishy-washy. I want you to be committed to this, committed to our Lifetime Christmas movie, shooting tomorrow, airing next week on Lifetime.
You guys, hold on. I'm getting Spinderella on the phone. We need to settle this. I don't really have Spinderella's phone number.
Cortana?
Call Spinderella. Cortana, call Scat Cat.
All right, whatever you say, mister. You're looking great today.
Wait, is she a secretary in the 50s?
That's what Cortana is.
In the 50s, though.
Yeah. And she's also your AI companion in the Halo series.
You know why MC Scat Cat and Cortana are so close?
They're both artificial intelligences that are an affront to God.
I've never heard Scat Cat and intelligence in the same
It's because opposites attract.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Is why. Cortana, call Chunky A. Vanessa, it's been a delight to have you on the program.
Thank you. I've had fun. I've learned a lot about various technologies, and I genuinely miss Dawn from Invoke more than ever.
I think people will want to keep in touch with you. What would be a great way to do that?
You can find me on Twitter at ThatRamosGirl, which I must explain. Yes, it's kind of a lame thing, but when I started it, I was still doing stand-up, and like your first kind of first year or so, a lot of people don't learn names because they don't know if you're going to be around. So they just go, oh, you know, that Ramos girl. Like, they just kind of learn last names like you're on a softball team. So that's where that came from. I don't really think I'm girlish.
Were you on a softball team at the time?
No.
You should have joined. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, sure. I'm not athletic. But, yeah, you can find me there. And that's pretty much it. Aside from that, I wrote on the first season of Border Town on Fox, which is a Seth MacFarlane vehicle. Seth MacFarlane, the very same one. And that airs, we just got pushed back, so that will be airing in the fall of 2015. But yeah, that's kind of what I got going.
2015?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds great.
I'm going to keep an eye out for it.
Yeah.
My eyes are peeled.
Very joke heavy.
206-984.
Wait a minute, it's a Seth MacFarlane show that has
and
a ton of jokes in it?
Joke heavy.
206-984-4FUN is our telephone number. jjgo@maximumfun.org is our email address. Thanks to Colin Anderson for filling in for Sonny D this week. And thanks to Sonny D, Brian Fernandez, for putting the show together. If you have thoughts about the show, you can email us. I already said that part. And our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Happy holidays, gang.
Have fun. With holidays.
We'll talk to you
next
time.
You look great today.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jessica.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.